All right, good evening, everyone. I'm going to pray. And I really just liked the way that song played. There was more space in that Amazing Grace and an anthemic, almost like you're sitting in the movies at the end of an epic scene. And you just know, like, imagine singing that when Jesus is with you face to face. Like, just that space and that moment where you just see all things new. That's cool. So I'm going to pray, and we're going to continue to just let God speak to us tonight. You'll see the sermon's a little bit different, just a little bit more listening than explaining. That's what I would say. And I just pray that God will speak to us. Let's ask that. Father God, we just give you thanks that when we come into a building, we're able to be here and be the church and just be your people because of everything you have done for us. And we pray tonight that whatever distractions, doubts, fears that might be going on in our life, that we would be able to push that aside to allow you to speak and allow you to change those circumstances for your glory, and that we would be able to know your love. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So what I want you to think about is what doubts you might have. What might trouble your mind? In the last week, in the last month, sometime through this year, what doubts have come up? What's troubled your mind? What's challenged you and maybe kind of spun you out a little bit? And maybe you felt a little out of control. Maybe you've kind of sat in that place of, I don't know what to do with this. And then either how you're feeling about that situation or how you dealt with that situation, and was it the way that you would like to see that happen? Because in today's passage, we have a moment where Jesus' disciples are filled with some doubt and some fear. And what's beautiful about the passage is how Jesus restores them into a space where they see the resurrected, living Jesus, and they're able to go for the rest of what we read in the New Testament and start the church that Jesus said they would start, that they would be part of God's mission, and that it all happened because Jesus came back to life. And so just a thought as I read this passage, how would you react if Jesus had come back to life and you knew he'd died and you were not aware that he had come back to life? How do you think you would react if he suddenly turned up in your room with a bunch of people? What would you kind of face him like? What would your feelings be? What would your thinking be? And so we're picking it up from last week when Jen spoke on the road to Emmaus, and there's the two disciples and they've walked along with Jesus, but they didn't know it was him. And Jesus unpacks scripture for them and shows them how the Messiah was going to be. And then he walks into the room with them to have this meal, and he breaks bread with them, and boom, their eyes are opened. It is Jesus. And so then we know that they made their way quickly back to Jerusalem, and we pick up the story now. They're back in Jerusalem. They're in this room with the other disciples and probably a few other people, and they are sharing this story. And the way I like to think about it is perhaps they had a bit of a fire pit going and they're sitting around it and they're talking about this. Those two disciples have come back, shared the story, and now they're 4 hours in. And they're like, what's going on? Like, Jesus has died on a cross, and Our beloved Jesus, our friend, died on the cross, and people are telling us he's alive. And so you're grieving, you're feeling sad, and you've got these mixed emotions. Are people having me on? What's going on here? And so then we meet Jesus in this room. So it's in Luke chapter 24, and it says this. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see, a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that was written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." So it's interesting, at least for me, that Jesus appears in the room and the logical conclusion in fear is to say, "Are we seeing a ghost?" And it's not the first time the disciples have done this to Jesus. The other time was when Jesus walked on the water and they're rowing through the night and this figure appears on the water. And again, what do they do? "It's a ghost." And Jesus says the same thing, "Don't be afraid." And we know that Peter walked on the water there, and then there's a faith story in that for another sermon. But what we see here is Jesus encounters them in the room and they freak out. Their minds are troubled. They have doubts. And Jesus says to them, "Look at my hands and feet." And I love the kindness of Jesus. I love when we have doubts in our life, and I love when we have things in our life that are troubling us. Jesus is there to allow us to walk through a situation by faith and trust him. In this situation, he's there face to face, and he provides with them the resource they need. Touch, see, feel, know that I am alive, that I am living, so that they could testify and say, "Jesus has risen from the grave." But the thing that really got me in this passage was further down, he keeps speaking about how he had to go through this. He had to die, he had to rise again. But the thing that really got me was the very first words of the passage. He said, "Peace be with you." And then the disciples freaked out. What I want you to imagine is what would it be like to carry peace because you trust in Jesus? Imagine if Jesus turned up in this room and you had peace and you didn't freak out and think he was a ghost, but you were able to go, "King Jesus, the beloved Jesus, the person that I love who has saved me from my sin. He's alive. He is here. He's my king." And see, this is what we've been looking at in the book of Luke, where the title was "Behold My King," or "Behold Your King." That's the Jesus we are serving. That's the Jesus we worship. He is the king who we love. And so what we see is Jesus come in and says, "Peace be with you." And I think when we see this, it's really important as it gets to the end of the passage, and he talks about preaching repentance and forgiveness, because what people are bringing, what we bring when we meet people, is a gospel of peace. People might not receive it like that, but what we're offering them is peace, peace in their hearts that they would finally be made whole by the maker of the universe, King Jesus. So what I want to do tonight is this. I kind of want to jump out of this passage for a moment, and I want to go to Isaiah chapter 26. And I'm not going to really explain it. I'm just going to read it, and I'll stop a couple of times just to note a couple of things. But what I want you to do is, you know how Jesus open their minds to the scriptures. I want us to do that, okay? We have the Holy Spirit in our lives. If we follow Jesus, we have him in our lives to open our minds to scripture, to allow God's living word to transform us. And the biggest thing I hope we get out of tonight, because there's a proposal coming soon and you're going to be thinking about that. That's going to take over for sure. What I would love you to leave with tonight is peace. Peace that comes from God. So that when you walk into the week, whatever doubts, fears, things that you are facing, you have a renewed peace because you have someone that you are now walking with, King Jesus, who you love. So Isaiah chapter 26, it's just going through this chapter where you're going to see a little bit of scripture where it talks about peace, and then a large chunk of scripture is going to be just talking about what it's like when we're looking to Jesus and God coming and saving his people. And it's a really beautiful hope to hold on to, and it's a peace that he can offer. So let's read this, and I just want you to sit and let the Holy Spirit speak. We have a strong city. God makes salvation its walls and ramparts. Open the gates that the righteous nation may enter, the nation that keeps faith. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. God keeps in perfect peace those who trust in him. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord himself is the rock eternal. He humbles those who dwell on high. He lays the lofty city low. He levels it to the ground and casts it down to the dust. Feet trample it down, the feet of the oppressed, the footsteps of the poor. The path of the righteous is level. You, the upright one, make the way of the righteous smooth. Yes, Lord, walking in the way of your laws, we wait for you. Your name and renown are the desires of our hearts. Just a quick note there. You'll see they're walking in the ways of the laws. They're being obedient to God because your name and renown are the desires of our heart. They want to know God, and that's why they follow the laws. My soul yearns for you in the night. In the morning, my spirit longs for you. When your judgment comes upon the earth, the people of the world learn righteousness. But when grace is shown to the wicked, they do not learn righteousness. Even in a land of uprightness, they go on doing evil and do not regard the majesty of the Lord. Lord, your hand is lifted high, but they do not see it. Let them see your zeal for your people and be put to shame. Let the fire reserved for your enemies consume them. Lord, you establish peace for us. All that we have accomplished, you have done for us. Lord our God, other lords beside you have ruled over us, but your name alone do we honor. They are now dead. They live no more. Their spirits do not rise. You punished them and brought them to ruin. You wiped out all memory of them. You have enlarged the nation, Lord. You have enlarged the nation. You have gained glory for yourself. You have extended all the borders of the land. Lord, they came to you in their distress when you disciplined them. They could barely whisper a prayer. As a pregnant woman about to give birth writhes and cries out in her pain, so were we in your presence, Lord. We were with child. We writhed in labor, but we gave birth to wind. We have not brought salvation to the earth, and the people of the world have not come to life. But your dead will live, Lord. Their bodies will rise. Let those who dwell in the dust wake up and shout for joy. Your dew is like the dew of the morning. The earth will give birth to her dead. Isaiah 26. I will keep in perfect peace those who trust in me. Perfect peace. Those who trust in me. And so what you've got in this story is you've got Jesus enters the room, the disciples freak out, but he calms them down by showing them who he is, not the ghost, the risen King Jesus. And he explains to them all of this had to happen because this was the plan. I was going to rise from the grave, defeat death, and you will now go and preach repentance and forgiveness. And that's what we need to do. We need to go out in peace to serve people, to love people and preach repentance and forgiveness. When was the last time you tried to tell someone that they need to turn back to God? That's a pretty tough thing to do. It's a conversation that we can learn how to have. And the way I've learned to do it is practice, practice, practice with the Holy Spirit. Because I trust God is going to go with me. So if I walk into a room and I'm going to go in perfect peace in trusting God, I just want to practice how to help people turn back to God. So have those conversations. I encourage you to step out in faith, knowing that God is with you. He is the one who's going to carry us into every situation that we're ever in. And he's the one that can help us in those situations, the God of perfect peace. And so I'm going to give you one more passage and then we'll wrap up. In John 14, Jesus again was talking to the disciples and he said to them, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me." Further down, he says in verse 27 to 31, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I'm going away and I am coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not say much more to you, for the Prince of the world is coming. He has no hold over me. But he comes so that the world may learn that I love the Father and do exactly what my Father has commanded me." I love this. This is good. Jesus went to the cross and the prince of the world, they're talking about the devil, the enemy here. He actually is there so that the world may know that Jesus loves his Father. And he does exactly what his Father has commanded him. In his obedience, he died on the cross and rose from the grave and he defeated Satan. He has no say in our life because of that. And the same is for us. If you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you repent, you turn back to God and you ask for forgiveness. And from that point on, you love him and you follow his commands because you love him. And that peace that he will give you throughout your life is through this developed, growing trust in him. And so as we pray now and as we hear the proposal and as we think about the future of Hawkesbury Valley, I want us to think, if Jesus was to speak to us face to face right now and he asked us to go out and preach the gospel and be involved in mission and live for his glory, would we have perfect peace trusting in him and believing that he is trustworthy? Let's pray. Father, we just give you thanks that in all things you are with us. You are with us tonight, and as we hear the proposal and as we think about the future and as we think about our own lives this week, God, I pray that you would bring the perfect peace that you offer. When you said that greeting, "Peace be with you," it might be a simple greeting, but it really sets up what you have to offer, that we can live a full life with you in repentance and forgiveness, because we find peace in you. And so we pray tonight that you would give us that peace and give us understanding. In Jesus' name, amen.